Hi, everyone. With Thanksgiving coming up, it's the perfect time to tell you, our listeners, just how grateful we are for your support. Because without it, we wouldn't be able to do what we love to do. I'd also like to take this opportunity to let you know we'll be taking a break next week for the Thanksgiving holiday. But don't worry, we still have something very special lined up for you. In the meantime, from all of us here at Parcast, thank you again for listening, and have a happy Thanksgiving. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of Snow White features child abuse, murder, references to cannibalism, and implied incest and necrophilia. Please exercise caution for children under 13. Snow White's legs burned. Her breath came in sharp gasps, lungs bursting from the strain. She'd been running through the woods all night. She was grateful that the huntsman had decided to spare her life, but that turned out to be only a brief reprieve from the dangers of the wilderness. All night she'd been certain that the wolves she heard howling were right on her heels, about to leap out and sink their teeth into her at any moment. The impending danger had kept her moving forward, but she was beginning to lose touch with reality. Memories swarmed through her mind like phantom visions in the night. Queen Grimhilda's sneer, the flash of a whip before it stung her bare skin, the taunting voices of the other servants, calling her a wretched girl and blaming her for her uncle's death. Snow fell to her knees in exhaustion, shaking with sobs. Despair overwhelmed her. She was ready to give up when a ray of golden sunlight touched her forehead. The sun was rising. Glancing around, she saw that she was only a few feet from the crest of a hill. Snow practically crawled up the rough hillside. When she peered down into the valley below, her eyes widened and her tears stopped. Nestled next to a sparkling creek and a flourishing vegetable garden was the most adorable little cottage she had ever seen. She rose to her feet and half ran, half stumbled down the other side of the hill, urging herself forward with every ounce of strength she had left. When she finally stood in front of the wooden door, she took a moment to marvel at its strange size. The top of the door frame rose only to her shoulders, but big or small, Snow would take hope in any form she could find it. Gathering her courage, she reached out and knocked. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other originals from Parcast for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Last week, we began the story of Snow White with her strange magical birth and how she attracted the jealous attention of the queen. This week, we'll reach the end of this iconic tale as Snow White finds herself drawn into a final confrontation with her vain and murderous nemesis. Coming up, we'll hear the rest of this tale. Snow beat her fists against the wooden door. The cabin was silent. She bent down to peer through one of the low front windows. It was too tidy to be entirely abandoned, but there was no hint of movement from inside. Snow glanced around and called out to the woods,
"Hello? Does anyone live here?"
All she heard back was her own echo. Snow sighed and sat on the ground next to the door. Perhaps whoever lived in the cabin was merely out at the moment and would return soon, but it wasn't long until a cold wind picked up around her. Snow hugged her arms to her chest and looked up to see dark storm clouds gathering above, blotting out the newly risen sun. A crack of thunder split the air, causing her to jump to her feet. A moment later, it began to rain. Snow jumped and scurried into the awning of the cottage's doorway, trying to shield herself from the sudden deluge. There was a sudden flash of lightning, followed a second later by an extremely close thunderclap. Snow screamed and leaped back against the door. To her surprise and relief, it flew open. Without hesitating, she rushed inside and slammed the door shut behind her. Snow White backed away from the door, still breathing heavily, but as she glanced around, her heartbeat began to slow. She was standing in what appeared to be a living room, kitchen, and dining room combined. A long table stretched out before her with seven little chairs and matching place settings. Like the door on the ceiling of the home, the table and chairs were very short, almost as if they'd been built for children. The space was clean and organized. There weren't many decorations, but it still felt safe and welcoming. Snow's eyelids started to droop. She'd been running all through the night, and the adrenaline which had been fueling her up until now was fading. She contemplated curling up to sleep on the floor until she noticed a doorway off to the side of the kitchen. Peering through it, she found a second room with seven little beds, each made perfectly. They had clean white sheets that were tucked in tight, cozy fur blankets, and plump square pillows. In the back of her mind, Snow knew it was foolish to climb into a stranger's bed, but she was far too tired to care. She practically fell onto the bed closest to her, muddy, blood-stained clothes and all. Seconds later, she was asleep. Snow awoke to sunlight falling across her face. She yawned and stretched, feeling more relaxed than she had been since her uncle had been alive. But then she heard hushed whispers coming from somewhere nearby, and she remembered where she was. Out of desperation, she'd broken into a stranger's home. Her eyes shot open. She sat up in bed and frantically glanced around. The room was empty, but the six other beds had clearly been slept in. Confused, Snow stood up and peeked through the doorway. Seven short men with long gray beards sat around the kitchen table eating breakfast. One of them looked up from his food and spotted her watching them. He gave her a wide and friendly smile and waved her over.
"Hello, dear child. Join us for breakfast. You must be starving."
The other six little men turned to smile at her as well. Snow stepped forward hesitantly, stammering out an apology.
"I am so sorry that I broke into your home. I didn't mean to invade, but there was a storm and I was dreadfully frightened."
Snow's apology was interrupted when her stomach gurgled so loudly she swore the room echoed with the sound. She flushed pink with embarrassment, but the seven dwarfs paid it no mind. One of them pulled an extra chair up to the table and gathered food onto a plate for her. Another one said,
"Don't worry, it's obvious you've been through a great ordeal. But where are my manners? My name is Blick. My brothers are Flick, Glick, Snick, Plick, Wick, and Quee."
The dwarfs each waved at her. Snow repeated each name, nodding and smiling at each in turn. The dwarfs asked her to tell them how she came to their valley. Snow felt tears well in her eyes as she told them who she was, of her uncle's death, of the ensuing torture, her almost murder, and her frantic flight through the woods. The seven dwarfs listened intently to her story, growing angrier by the moment. By the time she finished, they were all scowling. Blick resolutely set his fork down. He said,
"Dear girl, I know I speak for all of us when I say how terribly sorry we are that someone would behave in such a way towards a helpless child. You may stay in our home for as long as you need."
Snow chewed on her bottom lip. She had only just met these men, but she didn't really have any other option. The thought of stepping back out into the woods made her shudder. At least in this house, she was warm and fed, and her gut told her that the dwarfs would not harm her. But even as she opened her mouth to accept their offer, another problem entered her mind. She knew that if Grimhilda ever found out that she was still alive, her wrath would descend on anyone who had helped her. Snow lowered her eyes to the table and said,
"You are all so generous, but I don't want to cause you any trouble."
Flick huffed, crossed his arms, and said, "If we were concerned about trouble, we would have kicked you out the second we found you in Blick's bed last night."
Glick, who had been resting his head in his palms, lifted his eyes to hers and said,
"We have lived a long time and have experienced for ourselves how wicked the world can be. We would not turn our backs on a child in need."
Snow's hands trembled. She desired nothing more than to give in to her emotional and physical exhaustion by accepting their offer. But she still felt guilty taking advantage of the dwarf's hospitality while putting them in danger.
"I will accept your offer," she said after a moment, "but only if you agree to put me to work. I know I will still be a burden, but at least let me do what I can."
The dwarfs huddled together to discuss her suggestion, then turned back to face her. Blick spoke for the group.
"Very well. Every day we leave for the mines early in the morning and come back late in the evening. If you would be willing to clean and cook, you would save us a great deal of work."
Snow felt relief spread through her body. Cooking and cleaning were easy enough. She thanked them profusely. But a few minutes later, the dwarfs were grabbing their coats to leave for work, and Snow's pulse rose again. Blick noticed her flushed cheeks and asked her what was wrong. She answered,
"I guess I'm just nervous about being alone."
Blick nodded understandingly.
"I am sorry to leave you, child. Just lock this door and do not open it for anyone. Stay inside and you should be safe."
Snow nodded. After the dwarfs had all exited, she locked the door behind them and waved goodbye from the window as they traipsed off to work. At that very moment, on the other side of the woods, back in Snow White's childhood home, Queen Grimhilda was feeling better than she had in years. The previous morning, she had eaten the liver and lungs of a pig for breakfast, believing that they belonged to Snow. The thought of the girl's youthful flesh being absorbed into her own body had thrilled her. With every bite, she had felt her wrinkles smoothing out and her gray hair regaining color. When she awoke this morning, she felt 10 years younger. She sat in front of her magic mirror and watched the blue and purple smoke swirl within. Her heart pounded in anticipation. She had waited a full 24 hours to confirm the success of her plan, savoring the suspense as if peeling the wrapping paper from the edges of a long-awaited gift. A golden mask appeared in the glass, ready to answer whatever question was asked of it. Grimhilda asked, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" For a moment, the mirror simply stared at her with its hollow, black eyes. Then it spoke.
"You, my queen, are fair, it is true. But Snow White, beyond the mountains with the 7 dwarfs, is still 1,000 times fairer than you."
The queen felt like she'd been punched in the gut. She sat down on her bed, gasping for breath. She screamed at the empty room.
"How is that possible? The little usurper is dead!"
But when she thought through the previous night, the truth was obvious. The huntsman had lied to her. He had brought her the lungs and liver of some beast in place of Snow White's. Grimhilda called her guards and ordered them to bring her the huntsman. She would have his head for this betrayal. The guards soon returned with the news that the huntsman's house was empty and he was nowhere to be found. The queen smashed a perfume bottle against the wall, filling the room with a musty rose scent. Grimhilda ordered the guards out of the room and stepped back to her mirror, which now just showed a flat, reflective surface. Eyeing herself up and down, she said,
You made a mistake in trusting such an important job to someone else. It's time to take care of this brat, once and for all."
She went to her bedside table and took a small vial from one of its drawers. Popping out the cork, she lifted it to her lips and swallowed its contents. Then she looked to the mirror and watched as her sleek form transformed into a wide-hipped, red-haired old woman. She practiced her best genial smile. Then she took a horse from the stables and began her journey through the woods. Up next, Grimhilda makes another attempt on Snow's life. Listeners, here's a new show I can't wait for you to check out. When it comes to love, every story is unique. Some play out like fairy tales, seemingly meant to be. Others defy the odds to achieve happily ever after. In Our Love Story, the newest Spotify original from Parcast, you'll discover the many pathways to love, as told by the actual couples who found them. Every Tuesday, Our Love Story celebrates the ups, downs, and pivotal moments that turn complete strangers into perfect pairs. Each episode offers an intimate glimpse inside a real-life romance, with couples recounting the highlights and hardships that define their love. Whether it's a chance encounter, a former friendship, or even a former enemy, Our Love Story proves that love can begin and blossom in the most unexpected ways. Follow Our Love Story free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, back to the story. As the days passed, Snow White became increasingly glad that she had agreed to stay with the seven dwarfs. After they left for work each day, Snow would spend hours cleaning and cooking. There were a lot of mouths to feed, but it was still far less work than she'd been forced to do at the palace. And when the dwarfs arrived home each night, they thanked her profusely, complimented her cooking, and told her stories about their day in the mines. About a week after she'd arrived at the cottage, Snow was just finishing up her work for the evening when she heard a gentle knock on the door. She frowned to herself. The dwarfs had never come home this early before. Snow hurried to the window and peeked out. It was a middle-aged woman with fiery red hair. Snow watched as the woman adjusted her petticoat. She was certain she had never seen this woman before, but something about her movements seemed familiar. Then the peddler woman looked up and their eyes met. Snow could have sworn she saw a flash of strange excitement in the woman's eyes. She smiled broadly and said,
"Hello. Well, aren't you a beautiful young girl? Certainly someone like you is interested in attracting suitors and in need of some quality bodice lace. Luckily, that is exactly what I sell."
"It looks lovely," said Snow as the woman began to take out her wares. "But I really don't need any at the moment."
"You don't have to buy, just try,"
the woman insisted, continuing to take out spools of lace. Snow bit her lip. She'd told the dwarfs she wouldn't open the door for anyone. But this woman was obviously harmless, if a bit insistent. It couldn't hurt to let her in for a few minutes. When Snow opened the door, the peddler woman pulled her into a tight hug, squeezing so hard Snow coughed. The woman laughed as she released her.
"Don't you remind me of my own child. Here, let me help you lace up your bodice properly."
She bid Snow turn around and went to work. Snow had never known her mother, so it felt nice to have an older woman fawn over her in such a way. But as the lady worked, Snow realized it was getting harder and harder to breathe. She gasped,
"Miss, I think you might be pulling the lace too tight. If you need me to buy more to make it looser, I'd be happy to."
But the woman just laughed.
"Tighter is always better when it comes to bodices, my dear. You have such a tiny waist, it would be a shame not to show it off."
Snow was too polite to argue, so she smiled and focused on taking smaller breaths. But after a few more twists, even shallow breaths felt impossible. Snow tried to ask her to loosen it again, but she couldn't make a sound. Finally, the woman finished her work with one last tug, pulling so hard she practically lifted Snow from the ground. Snow clutched at her chest, trying to force her lungs to expand, but there was no give to the fabric. The world spun around her, and she dropped to her knees. But the peddler woman had already turned away from her and was now packing up her wares. Snow waved an arm frantically, clawing at the lace with her other hand. She slapped the floor, trying desperately to get the woman's attention. But she must have been hard of hearing. She didn't turn to look at Snow or show any signs that she had heard. Once she'd finished packing up her things, she headed for the door. Snow reached forward, desperate to stop the woman, but her vision blurred and she collapsed onto her side. The last thing she heard as the world went dark was the strange woman closing the door behind her as she left. Fortunately, that evening the seven dwarfs had decided to return home early to check on their new houseguest. To their horror, they found Snow lying unmoving in the middle of the floor. The dwarfs rushed over and examined her, trying to ascertain what had happened.
"She's not breathing!" shouted Wick.
Flick frowned and said,
"It's this ridiculous bodice! It's far too tight!"
Blick leaped to his feet, grabbed a knife, and hurried back. The dwarfs worked together to roll her over, and then he carefully sliced through the lace. The bodice burst loose, and Snow sprung to a sitting position, wheezing in relief. She threw the bodice across the room, coughing and weeping. When she calmed down, she told them what had happened. They were furious, certain it had to be the work of the wicked queen. Snow told them she hadn't thought there was any reason to be suspicious of the saleswoman. Blick patted Snow on the back and told her,
"The evil queen managed to trick you this time. You must not fall for it again. I do wish we could stay home with you all day, but that's not an option. Our work requires all seven of us all day."
Snow nodded and apologized, offering to leave before the queen took her anger out on them. But the dwarfs would hear none of it. Instead, they helped her to bed and guarded her as she slept. The following morning, Blick locked the front door himself before waving goodbye through the front window. Snow smiled as she watched them walk away. She felt much better after a good night's rest and quickly got to work cleaning the house. With every sweep of her broom, she grew more convinced that the events of the day before had to be an accident. She thought, "That poor peddler woman was probably just hard of hearing and left before she realized I wasn't breathing. It can't be easy selling things door to door, and she would have been in a hurry to get to her next customer. Surely it had nothing to do with Grimhilda." But just as she sat down for lunch, there was another knock on the door. Snow gulped and slowly stood. She stepped up to one of the kitchen windows. This time, the visitor was a young girl with silver blonde hair. Still, Snow was cautious. She called out,
"I'm sorry, but you must go away. I won't open the door to a stranger."
The young girl looked over at the window. She smiled, stepped over, and said,
"That's not a problem. I can show you what I'm selling from out here."
She reached into her bag and pulled out a sparkling hair comb. It was emerald green with a gorgeous jeweled rose embedded in the handle. Snow's jaw dropped. It reminded her of the hairbrush her mother had left her, which Grimhilda had stolen. Her eyes filled with tears at the rush of memories. The saleswoman pouted at Snow's reaction and said,
"Oh, I am dreadfully sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. I'll go away now."
Snow rushed to the door, opened it up, and called out to her,
No, please don't go. You did nothing wrong. I wish to buy that comb from you.
The girl turned around with a bright smile and offered to brush Snow's hair to show her how well it worked. Snow sniffed, nodded, and invited the girl in. She sat down on the floor, and the girl began to run the comb through her long hair. The girl's brush strokes were smooth and gentle. Snow sighed and found herself finally relaxing at the calming touch. Then a sharp pain exploded at the back of her skull. Snow jerked forward from the blow, slumping out of the chair. Her world swam, and then everything went dark. The next thing Snow knew, she was lying flat on the floor, staring up at the seven dwarfs. Blick shook his head sympathetically.
"Oh, child, you will be the death of me."
Snow rubbed her eyes and asked what had happened. They told her that they had returned home from work to find her on the floor again. At first, they had thought she was dead, but then they found the comb embedded in her scalp. When they carefully removed it, Snow came back to life. Snow was shocked. She reached behind her head to feel if the comb had left a wound. It was nothing more than a cluster of small punctures, barely noticeable, and yet it had almost killed her. She couldn't believe that she'd been tricked twice.
"I don't understand," she cried. "That girl seemed so sweet. She didn't even press me to let her in. She was leaving when I called her back."
Flick huffed.
"Should have let her go."
Wick nudged Flick with his elbow, and Blick said,
"You cannot underestimate the queen's cunning. This is why I told you to never open the door for anyone."
Snow nodded and apologized, swearing she would never do it again. The matter settled, they all sat down for dinner. The dwarfs spent all evening and much of the next morning doting over Snow. It had been years since anyone had been so kind to her, and she realized just how much she was beginning to care about them in return. By the time they left for work, she was feeling positively cheery. But Snow's good mood didn't last long. She had just sat down to peel some potatoes when she heard yet another knock on the door. This time, Snow didn't even rise from her seat. She simply called out,
"I'm not able to come to the door. Please sell your wares somewhere else."
There was no response. Snow returned to her potatoes, confident that she'd done well. A few moments later, she heard a loud crash from the garden and a terrible wail. Snow leapt to her feet and ran to the window. An old woman with a hunched back and long, crooked nose lay in the dirt. She called out,
"Please, if anyone is home, I fell and I need help to reach my cane."
Snow chewed on her bottom lip. It could be another trick, she thought. But the woman really appeared to be in trouble. She couldn't leave her in the dirt, and the dwarfs wouldn't be home for hours. She had no choice. So Snow unlocked the front door and stepped outside. After helping the old woman to her feet, Snow bid her a good day and tried to send her on her way. But the woman claimed her ankle was sore and asked if she might rest it for a short while. Snow knew it was a risky decision, but the woman in front of her was bone thin with a hunched back and barely shuffled as she walked. Snow couldn't see her being much of a threat to anyone, so she took pity on the woman and tentatively led her inside. She set the old woman at the table and offered her something to eat. The old woman said,
"You have done so much for me already. Let me offer you something to eat instead."
She reached into the pocket of her robe and pulled out the most scrumptious-looking apple Snow had ever seen. It was a brilliant ruby red without a blemish on it. Snow covered her mouth with her hands and said,
"Oh, I couldn't accept food from strangers. Besides, that apple is too perfect. You must keep it for yourself."
The old woman smiled and pulled a knife from her cloak as well.
You are such a sweet young thing. Here, I will cut it in half and we will share it.
Snow did not protest as the woman sliced through the crisp fruit. She told herself that if the apple were dangerous, the old woman would not be eating it as well. So she sat down at the table and accepted her half. After the old woman took a large bite of her own piece, Snow raised hers to her lips. The old woman was careful not to watch Snow White too attentively, but as the girl bit into the apple, the old woman couldn't help but smile. She was just too pleased with her cleverness. It had not been easy to poison only half of the apple. Coming up, the evil queen reaps the fruits of her labor. Now back to the story. For the third time in a row, the dwarfs had come home from work to find Snow White out cold on the ground. But this time, they could not revive her. There was no poisoned comb stuck in her scalp, no suffocating bodice, or anything else out of place. Just a beautiful young girl who had died far too young. The dwarfs laid Snow on a bed of briar and mourned her loss for 3 full days. The plan had been to bury her, but when the time came, they were surprised to find her body was not decaying and she was still as beautiful as ever. They all agreed that they couldn't bury her in the dark, lonely earth. Instead, they had a glass coffin made so that she could be seen from all sides. They etched, "Here lies the princess, Snow White," in golden letters on the coffin, and placed her up high on a mountaintop. They took turns guarding it so that it would never be disturbed. Many years passed, and Snow White still did not decay. Animals from the forest visited her every day, so she was never lonely. One morning, a young prince was traveling through the woods with a small caravan when a strange beam of light glinted across his face. He soon learned that it was the sun glinting off this strange glass coffin. Without delay, he deserted his companions to investigate. To his astonishment, inside the coffin lay the most enchanting woman he had ever laid eyes on. Her skin was unblemished, her lips were as red as blood, and her hair as dark as ebony. The prince wanted nothing more than to run his fingers through her soft hair and brush his lips across her beautiful mouth. The glass prevented him from touching her, but he refused to tear his eyes away. She was like a work of art that he could not bear the thought of living without. When the dwarfs noticed him lingering, they introduced themselves as the caretakers of the coffin and asked him if anything was wrong. He said, "Nothing is wrong. Everything is right with the world now that I've found her. Please, may I purchase her from you?" They refused, claiming she was worth far more to them than money could ever buy. The prince apologized for insulting them with the offer. "You are right. I'm sorry to have belittled her in such a way. She is not an item that can be purchased. But I beg of you to please allow me to take her home with me. I feel as if our fates are intertwined, and I must keep her close." The dwarfs were skeptical, but the prince assured them that he would place her in a position of honor in the castle, where she would be watched over and kept safe. They discussed the issue amongst themselves and decided that Snow would be better off in a palace where they had the resources to care for her properly. So they consented. The prince summoned one of the carriages from his caravan and had room made in it for the glass coffin. They set off back toward the castle promptly. Perhaps a little too promptly. The coffin had not been secured properly, and the road they had to travel was rough. It wasn't long before the carriage hit a large bump. The glass box slid free and fell over the edge. It struck the ground and shattered. Snow White's body sprawled into the dirt, shards of sparkling glass sprinkling the road around her. The prince cried out in horror and ran to her side, pulling her into his arms. As he did so, a chunk of apple rolled from her mouth. It had been stuck in her throat, and the fall had dislodged it. With the apple gone, Snow White came back to life. Snow opened her eyes to find the most handsome man she had ever seen clutching her in his arms. Her heart fluttered. She asked,
"Where am I?"
The prince stared at her, astonished. He could not believe his luck. The girl of his dreams was alive. He answered her, "You are with me." He explained everything the dwarfs had told him about what had happened and begged her to be his bride. Snow White was bewildered. She had no clue what she was supposed to do, but the one thing she knew for sure was that she never wanted to pull her gaze away from this man. So she accepted his offer. Sometime later, word reached every nearby kingdom that the prince was going to be wed. Invitations were sent across the land. One of these found its way back to the castle where long ago Queen Grimhilda had murdered Snow White's uncle. Grimhilda stood in her room, brushing her now gray hair with the jeweled brush she had taken from Snow White those many years ago. After her success with the poisoned apple, her magic mirror had reaffirmed she was the fairest in the land. That fact had allowed her to live in relative contentment, despite her climbing age. But when preparing to attend the wedding, she needed a little extra encouragement. So she stepped up to her mirror.
"Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" she asked.
The golden face stared out at her with hollow eyes and answered,
"You, my queen, are fair, it is true, but the young princess is 1,000 times fairer than you."
Grimhilda grew instantly frustrated. After all of her hard work, some strange new woman still dared to rise up in her place. She cried out to the heavens,
"My work is never done. Why can't you just let me be happy?"
She got dressed in her finest gown and left for the wedding, determined to lay eyes on her newest challenger. To Grimhilda's surprise, when she arrived at the neighboring kingdom, their guards surrounded her carriage and dragged her straight to the dungeons. She screamed at them,
"What is the meaning of this? Do you know who I am?"
But the guards stayed silent and locked her away in a dark, stale-smelling cell. Grimhilda's rage boiled over. She tried shaking the bars and slamming her fists against the walls to get the attention of the guards, but she succeeded in nothing but bloodying her knuckles. So she resigned herself to sulking in the corner, daydreaming about what she would do to these guards when she was free. Hours later, the guards returned and pulled her to her feet. They led her through the castle corridors to the grand ballroom. Grimhilda chastised them the entire way, spitting venom about how they would pay for their rudeness. But when the ballroom doors opened, her jaw dropped and she was stunned silent. An elaborate, sprawling fireplace was across the room from her. In front of the flames sat the prince, and next to him, in a sparkling wedding gown, was none other than Snow White. Grimhilda's knees buckled underneath her, and the guards had to drag her the rest of the way. They threw her to the floor at the prince's feet. Grimhilda raised herself to her knees and stammered,
"What is going on? Why am I here?"
The prince calmly stated,
"You are here to help me with my wedding gift for my beautiful bride."
Grimhilda grimaced and spat out,
"Her? Why would you marry her?"
The prince ignored her and continued,
"It is time justice was served for the crimes you committed against her as a child."
He motioned to his guards. One of them grabbed a large pair of metal tongs and reached into the nearby fire. Grimhilda blanched when she saw what he pulled from the flames. It was a pair of iron shoes, glowing red from the heat. She tried to run, but the guards caught her without much effort. They lifted her off her feet and removed the elaborate heels she was wearing. The prince said,
"You have been found guilty of the murder of your king, the slander of his and his niece's character, and for the multiple attempted murders of Snow White."
Grimhilda screamed and kicked, fighting with every bit of energy she had. Armored hands grabbed each of her legs, holding them still. The iron boots were set on the ground under her. She could feel the heat radiating beneath her toes. In a last-ditch effort, she cried out for mercy, but the prince simply shook his head, and the guards lowered her to the ground, sliding her dainty feet into the scalding metal. The evil queen wailed in pain, and the ballroom filled with the scent of burning flesh. She tried to kick the shoes from her feet, but they were a perfect fit. The guards released her, letting her perform her dreadful dance. The band adjusted the music to her tempo, the crowds laughing and clapping along. But eventually, the pain became too much to bear, and she fell to the floor, unconscious. At that, the prince stood from his seat and offered his hand to his bride. He led her over to the queen's prone form. Snow held her hand out to the prince, and he placed a dagger in her palm. She knelt beside Grimhilda, the wicked stepmother who had tried 4 times to kill her, who had made her a slave, who had murdered her uncle. She placed the blade against the queen's neck and cut her throat. Grimhilda's reign of terror was over. Snow White would live to a ripe old age, but she would always remember this moment as the first time since her uncle's death that she felt truly free. The majority of this retelling of Snow White was taken from the 1812 Brothers Grimm version called Little Snow White. However, there are some areas in which we strayed from the Grimm's version. For example, Little Snow White, along with most other Snow White tales, didn't give names to the 7 dwarfs. The first time they were named was in a 1912 Broadway play, and those are the names we used in this retelling. Children all over the world have heard of Snow White, the dreadful poisoned apple, the magical mirror, and the 7 genial dwarfs. But many of this tale's darker and stranger elements have been sanded off throughout the years. The original version is a harsh story of bitter jealousy and unrelenting justice. The story of Snow White makes people contemplate the nature of good and evil. It forces people to ask if violence is inherently evil, or if the context of the violence determines its nature. Snow White is portrayed as flawlessly pure, while the queen is wicked to the core. As far as the story's original authors were concerned, Snow White's decision to take the queen's life is justified. Furthermore, the prince's torture of the queen is also shown as righteous, a horrific punishment to balance the queen's horrible crimes. The implication is that violence, even incredibly cruel violence, can be good in some instances. Even if we disagree, the cruelty and violence enacted by the queen, Snow White, and the prince encourage the reader to question where they draw their own moral lines. It makes us consider whether mercy is always a virtue, or if some actions are truly unforgivable. Of course, more modern versions of Snow White are sanitized so much that even the examples of pure evil seem less harsh. This softens the lessons intended and makes the tale less effective at preparing children for the terrible things they could face in life. In support of unsanitized villains in literature, fantasy author C.S. Lewis once argued that real-world evil will not be softened, so we shouldn't soften it in fiction either. The best we can do is show them the terrible truth while also showing them that there is still hope. He said, "Since it is so likely that children will meet cruel enemies, let them at least have heard of brave knights and heroic courage." Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next week with a new episode. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales is a Spotify original from Parcast. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Nick Johnson, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Isabella Way. This episode of Tales was written by Amanda Hobseth, with writing assistance by Andrew Kelleher. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Don't forget to check out Our Love Story, the newest Spotify original from Parcast. Every Tuesday, discover the many pathways to love, as told by the actual couples who found them. Listen to Our Love Story free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.